May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It seems that every time I have an interaction with a retailer or a service provider, whether it's in person or online, I end up being sent an email asking me for my feedback, a brief survey to let them know how they did. Among the various questions asked, there's usually a question along the lines of, how likely are you to recommend this service? Rate your answer 0 to 10, with 0 being not at all likely and 10, of course I will. Businesses survive because people use them. That's why this question is so important to them, because we all know that word of mouth is always the best way to spread the news. People are far more likely to be vocal about their poor experiences, so I think it's good that we should share our positive ones as well. We trust the experience of people that we know and trust, and so we have to realise that our recommendations can have power. In our Gospel reading for today, we have Jesus' first words in John's Gospel story, "What are you looking for?" John the Baptist has directed some of his own followers towards Jesus. They then go and see for themselves. They follow Jesus, he notices, and he asks his question, "What are you looking for?" That's the sort of question that could apply to any of us at various stages of our lives. Our hopes and dreams, our priorities and needs, they shift and change. And at any time, we can be looking for something without being 100% sure what it is we're really looking for. Are you looking for meaning amid a seemingly chaotic situation? Are you looking for belonging and connection? Are you looking for contentment or happiness? What are you looking for when you come to a place of worship on a Sunday morning? Are you looking for comfort and consolation? Are you looking for challenge and learning? Are you looking for words of hope? There's no one answer to that question, what are you looking for, that would fit everyone. Different people look for different things, but that act of seeking itself happens to have brought us all here. Jesus asked those following him, "What are you looking for?" And they responded with their own question, "Where are you staying?" Then Jesus issues his invitation, "Come and see." They go and they see and they spend the day with Jesus. On the strength of that experience, Andrew, who would become an apostle, goes to his brother Simon and says, "We have found the Messiah." That must have been one heck of a day. The Messiah is God's anointed, God's chosen one, to fulfill the promises of God and bring people back to God. It's a big deal. Jesus' nature is recognized by John the Baptist. John recommends Jesus to Andrew, and Andrew brings Simon to Jesus, and Simon is renamed by Jesus, Peter, Rock. The foundation for those who would follow after Jesus' death and resurrection. Without experience, recommendation, and invitation, we don't get those first disciples. Without experience, recommendation, and invitation, we don't get the early church and the spread of Jesus' teaching through Christianity around the world. Without experience, recommendation, and invitation, we don't get the church that we love and care about going on into the future, sharing God's love and good news. Faith may be regarded by many as a private matter, but communities of faith require that we openly share our faith in some way so that we can mutually support each other. If you find yourself not always agreeing with the Christian voices that you hear loudest in the media, then you need to add your own Christian voice in your own spheres of experience so that people hear the diversity of views that exist. I don't suggest that we all try and get ourselves on the evening news. I, for one, would hate the attention. But if our faith matters to us, how we express that faith should matter too. Worshipping together is part of what a community of faithful people does. All of us are part of shaping that experience for other people, not just here in our worship, but also in our ministry of hospitality and everything else that we do as a parish. That means it's up to each of us to ask, do I do my bit to contribute to a positive experience of church and of Christians? How do my actions contribute to the experience people have when they come to St. John's? How likely am I to recommend this service to others? Please don't rate your answer at the door. Reflect about it a little bit. As a teenager, I would never tell anyone outside the church that I went to church. It definitely wasn't cool. I grew up in the 80s, that's the right language for the time. But now, looking back and thinking about the cultural heritage of most of my classmates, they were probably going to church with their families too, and we never got to talk about it, and that's a pity. And I'm not strictly instructing you to invite all and sundry to church on a Sunday, although it'd be nice. I'm realistic about how some of you might feel about that kind of thing. But I will say this. If someone that you encounter in your life looks like they're searching for connection to something beyond themselves, if they are asking questions that you realise relate to matters of faith broadly, and they don't already have their own community of faith, then consider asking them to come and see. People who don't come to church regularly make assumptions about what they will find. They may assume it will be the same as when they were kids or when they were last in church years ago, and they probably don't realise it might have changed a little bit. I actually have an example of this in my own family. When my aunt and uncle were travelling in the UK a few years ago, they ended up going to a worship service in the parish that my aunt was visiting because she was doing the family history research. And when she got home and was telling my mother about the experience, she said, with a note of surprise, "It was actually quite good. I enjoyed it. The preacher actually talked about real life and current events." And she liked that, even though it seemed to surprise her. My mother, married to a priest, and the mother of a priest, said to her, "That's what most priests try to do, you know." And this same aunt, she didn't seem to have learnt much, this same aunt made a comment after my uncle's funeral, which my father, Richard, a priest, took with me assisting. It was a father-daughter priestly effort. After my uncle's funeral, she said, "If church was like that all the time, people would go more often." I'm grateful to my cousin's wife who was there for her response. "I'm sure if they go to Richard's church, they get something like that each time." Any gathering of worship, any visit to church might be someone's first. That's why it's important that each time people come to any church service, they get an authentic expression of church, an authentic expression of what it means to follow Jesus, to be shaped by belief in God, who is creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. Baptisms, weddings, funerals, they should all reflect the regular prayer life of the parish. Our weekly worship should continue to be grounded in hearing the Bible readings and sharing Holy Communion in a way that is meaningful, relevant, and authentically us. A community of faith is shaped by those who are part of it. And if people from the full diversity of humanity are going to find a Christian welcome, then the community of faith needs to offer something shaped by Jesus' broad invitation. Will everyone that comes to see Jesus in this place, or any other church for that matter, find an experience they would be willing to share with others? What is it that people will find when they come and see. The Lord be with you.